The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Well, if you don't control a line of scrimmage here, you're in for a long, long night. You're 3-29 right now on third down this season.
Out of the eye, devil in the fullback for Michelle. Sony takes the hand up, penetration, night, wrapped night. Up, thrown down. A'shaun Robinson, with Ricky Jean Francois, the former Patriots.
Take the running game, stuff it in a blue bag behind the bench, send it to the plane, because you can't run the ball. Throw it out. I'm tired of it.
Ricky Jean Francois pushed Shaq Mason about 2 yards back.
985 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. That, of course, is Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, who have the call every Patriots game here at 985 The Sports Hub. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Soucy, very fit. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Fred. Hi, guys.
Hello. At one point, you were chuckling out of almost sarcasm during the game last night.
I mean, there were a few points, Fred. What else was there to do at times? I kind of watched it in some ways in disbelief. Yet on the other hand, I mean, there's the harsh reality of what's taking place and where this team is right now. And Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are. And I think in the past we could say that the Patriots, maybe in September, weren't the team that the record suggested. But certainly after last night, it's hard to argue otherwise today.
All right, so rank this in terms of the worst regular season losses. I mean, this is a disastrous Detroit team that had they lost, I mean, Patricia was going to lose the locker room completely. It's a team that has the worst pass rush that I've seen in football this year, and they were minus their best pass rusher. It's a team that has historically no running game, and they ran the ball easily yesterday. Kind of put this in perspective as you've been watching this team for many years.
Yeah, Fred, I think somebody asked me last night how it compares to Kansas City, and others have written about it this morning that I've read, and I would agree with, the conventional thought that, at least in the Kansas City game, you had a sense that there was talent defensively that eventually would come around, and you had guys that you had watched in the past play well for the Pats, and you had a guy like Darrell Revis, who of course had the reputation that he did, and certainly I think there was the idea that that the defense would come around in 2014. And on the flip side, there were signs that the offense would continue to fight. Gronkowski fought his way into the end zone late in that game. So I thought, there were differences between September of 14 and that Kansas City debacle, as bad as it was that night and as ugly as it appeared and last night. And
well, Belichick, Belichick looked back on that game and he said that it made like his team because they kept fighting till the end
Yeah, no question about it. And I'm not saying that the Patriots didn't play hard until the end as a whole last night, but there were some things last night that I think even that clip that you played and you talk about the Lions, their rushing game on offense. Well, their rushing defense was also the worst in the league going into last night's game. They had a lot, 179.5 yards per game. It was no surprise to me, especially given the state of the Patriots offense, the lack of weapons at receiver, and also the state of the defense without their best pass rusher and two guys who are starters in the secondary, one of whom, Patrick Chung, plays so many snaps for them that, maybe they would try to establish the run game. Why not? San Francisco and the Jets had so much success, and given the circumstances, that would be the right thing to do. But as that clip you guys played demonstrates, And the Lions controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides with their offensive line and certainly with their defense. And the Patriots' inability to pick up the third and short yardage situations, you know, that continues to be concerning. Maybe the Miami game in 2015, in a sense. I mean, the game plan going in, though, with a limited receiving core and trying to get Steven Jackson going, yeah, it was pretty self-evident. Last night, you know, I think there's so many factors that it's really hard for me in the time that I've been, you know, with this team to find another game that compares with last night's.
Yeah, it was astoundingly bad. And as a matter of fact, it's one of those things where you're looking for any kind of place where the defense would succeed. They couldn't stop the run. And the other thing is that Matt Stafford had his way the entire night within like 10 yards. Those 10-yard passes, and I believe Blake Bortles killed him that way too.
Yeah.
They can't stop anybody within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage on the dink and dunk passing. Do you see any kind of way, just looking at the talent, that they would be able to improve on what has just become a massive Achilles heel for this team?
Trade for three linebackers.
Outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys, it's been a concern, and we talked about it, I think, last week, and it goes back to last year especially. And it's even the run defense. It starts on first down, and I thought this team would be better defensively against the run, but last night, you know, once again, they got gashed. And, you know, so the linebackers aren't able to cover right now in the man-to-man. The secondary struggling, I think, with those crossing routes as well. It's a combination of all the different levels. We saw Bortles and Jacksonville, you know, kill them with those crossing routes. Last night, Zoe was calling them out before they happened, and the Lions were able to do the same. And you can't get pressure on the quarterback, and eventually those crossers are going to come open. And a team that likes to play man, you know, those are man beaters. And if you got linebackers that, you know, really are struggling in coverage, and right now, as I think a lot of people, but especially Greg Bedard, have documented, Dante Hightower's compromised. He's dealing with what appears to be, in Greg's reporting, a chronic injury. And, you know, certainly, you know, whether it's against the run or the pass, and often in passing situations, he wasn't out there last night, as you guys just noted on the other side of the break. So, you know, that is a major concern, and I'm not sure that there is a quick fix to that. Now, this team, they're going to keep coaching them, and the track record says they'll get better. But certainly, you know, with the personnel that they have, they've got to try to find a way, maybe to do some things differently, as they always do. But you know, whatever works, because they're going to keep seeing it. I think Matt Patricia told you a lot last night. Nobody knows the defense among opposing coaches better than he does, and the Lions did a good job of really attacking all the Patriots' vulnerabilities. And you know, it's a copycat league. If teams didn't, already recognize it, they certainly are going to watch that game film from last night's contest extra closely.
Bob, you just brought this up. The depth on this team is compromised. But the thing that really scares me is this is not the first time the depth on this team has been compromised. They've always had the next man up mentality. But this is the first year in a long time where the depth makes them look vulnerable. The guys that are filling in are woefully unprepared to do what they need to do.
Well, John, I think you look at the recent past, and you know, you can't go back and you know, have a do-over. But one of the problems when you aren't able to retain, you know, a lot of the guys that you draft or develop them, and I'm talking about early rounds. I think is that you don't have players who grow in your system and, you know, develop together and, you know, really create that depth. I mean, the saying is, I think in free agency, for example, you go out and kind of fill your needs, but you build the roster to the draft. And the Patriots have done a good job in the mid rounds, and certainly there are guys. And I think there are a group of players, especially young players, who have potential when you look at Flowers, if they can keep him around beyond this year, but also Wise. And I think Dietrich Wise, you know, showed me something last night. I talked about Fight early in the interview, and he certainly was out there trying to lead his team and imploring his teammates and playing with energy early in the second half, especially. So I think there are, you know, some guys that can form that nucleus, and the Patriots have done well. But the early round picks that, you know, are no longer around, and, you know, you look at, you know, from 2014 on especially, you know, I think that's a factor in the lack of depth. But again, as I said, you can't go back and redo it. And, you know, they brought in some people like Adrian Claiborne that you expected to help them. Now it's early, and certainly three games does not make a season. But, you know, he was off the field in large part as last week's game moved along and, you know, didn't have an impact in yesterday's. I thought Danny Shelton is one of those guys last night who did play well, at least gave them the effort that you're looking for. But, you know, Malcolm Brown is a first-round pick. And, you know, they got to get more from him, and they get more for that defensive line. And that's where it starts, you know, first down, and then, you know, they'll be better on third down if they can do better than allowing the team more than 4.5 yards per carry and really allowing a Lions team, as you said, that couldn't run the ball in the prior 2 weeks, or really, you know, the prior however many seasons you want to go back. And they were able to have their way for the most part.
How bad of a move was Zolak in last night?
Well, you know what? He was uplifted at halftime because Little John performed. And I got to say that the press box spread is among the best that we've had in our time together. So, you know, if there were silver linings last night.
Why Little John in Detroit? He's an Atlanta guy, right?
Well, you tell me, because I knew some of the songs, but I didn't know who Lil Jon was.
Well, he made a career out of going, yeah!
That's he's a guy who had a hit song about 8 years ago.
he had maybe 2-3 hit songs.
Yeah, I mean, he was at the tail end of his career when he did the Chappelle show.
He would make the most basic of beats and yell, yeah, over the top, and it became big.
Yeah, so I heard last night. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we're in Motown, you know. I mean, so much great music, and I know I'm an old soul, and becoming by the day an old man. But I wasn't exactly, you know, as thrilled about Little John, nor to your surprise, I'm sure, was producer Mark Capello or even Dennis Knudsen.
Well, he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, so I got Capello into it.
Capello was just looking
tough
for
to see through that hat
for blonde Republicans. Eminem did the coin toss at the game I was at, and boy, did he get warmly received. People were just like, oh, yeah, Eminem. Okay,
yeah,
hi.
Right. He's like, okay, we've seen you a few times. Yeah,
you're the new Kid Rock.
Well, there's nothing that translates better than hip hop at a stadium. It always sounds good.
Well, Zolak loves everything that's bad. All right, well, so he loves this Patriots team. Bob Soucy, a voice of the New England Patriots, thank you as always, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
right, we appreciate it. All right, we'll take you around the NFL. Coming up, if you listen to the radio station today, much like us, you'll hear there's nothing positive to say about this Patriots team. Nothing. And this is, if anything, not a hot taker, but I don't see this team's going to win its division. This team is obviously making the playoffs.
Listen, next week's important. You say they're going to win the division.
If they lose next week, if they lose to Miami at home in a must-win game, in a game that's as
they're three down if they don't win
that. Right.
I can't believe I'm saying this about a week four, but I mean, it is so important that they win that game.
If you lose to Miami at home in these situations, Edelman coming up and Josh Gordon aren't going to do you any good. You're sunk. You're 1-3 with a divisional loss to the team that's undefeated, will be 4-0, and you lost to the effing Lions on Sunday Night Football. I mean, you don't know how bad that is. You can't even conceptualize how bad that is. When Hardy comes in, I want him to do the crossover so he can tell you all just how I would have told you Patriots win that game by 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around. You play to win the game.
The NFL. In 15 minutes, give or take.
Good courts, show ponies, where's the beef?
98.5, the Sports Hub around the NFL is brought to you by Leonard Hair. Schedule your free consultation with the hair doctors of former NFL players Wes Welker, Rob Ninkovich, Sebastian Vollmer, and Chris Gronkowski. Call Dr. Matthew Lepresti and Dr. Robert Leonard at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
No, Jimmy G, no!
Shotgun snack for Garoppolo. Jimmy stepping up, avoiding a rusher, spinning out to his left. Can he make something happen? Looking toward the end zone, now going to run sideline. Garoppolo to the 10. Garoppolo takes a hit, and he's down at the 8.
And he's hurt.
At the 7. And Garoppolo is a little slow getting up.
Egad. Jimmy Garoppolo in a scramble was trying to run out of bounds and gets absolutely leveled.
He didn't run out of bounds.
No,
this injury
was his fault.
Yes. Yeah, because he tiptoed and tried to get like one or two more yards, and if he would have gone out of bounds.
He planted, put his head down, and tried to, you know, meet a defensive back head-on.
If he would have ran out of, I mean, for what? For half a yard?
He would have gotten popped that way, too, but run out of bounds.
Yeah, you run out of bounds.
Nothing
there.
Good comes from escaping out of the pocket and trying to get extra yardage if you're a quarterback.
Especially if you're Garoppolo. I mean, you're not exactly Cam Newton. I mean, you're not Ben Roethlisberger. You're not putting your head down and knocking anyone
over. I know, but you've even seen Cam Newton, as big and strong as he is, he's left the pocket multiple times and takes some hellacious shots.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that
his body can't take those kind of hits.
Right. Garoppolo's body can't take that.
Well, he's taken away on a cart, and the team right now, I haven't heard an update this morning yet, but I know that they feared an ACL injury. Well, here's Kyle Shanahan after the game.
All right, it's a knee. I know. We're fearing ACL. We'll find out for sure tomorrow. Anytime you lose your starting quarterback, I mean, that's, everyone. That is a big deal. And it was when we lost our starting running back, too. Feel for him personally. I know how disappointed he is. I haven't got a chance to see him yet.
All right. A, do you think Belichick would have ever said that?
Well, no, I was just thinking that the whole time I was thinking about, wow, he's being really forthcoming.
And I also wonder if Belichick sent him a text afterwards saying, hope you're okay, with like a little heart emoji, as he's known to
said,
do.
Bill would have said, we just got in. You know, I don't know. That's a medical thing. Medical people are out of talking to the medical people. Yeah,
come see me on Wednesday.
Injury report. We'll put out the injury report Wednesday.
Yeah, but by the way, I think Shanahan also playing a little woe is me there. It was also bad when we lost our starting running back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good point. Well, on the other side of things, Patrick Mahomes is still a bona fide badass. He beat out Tom Brady and Peyton Manning for the most TD passes in the first three games of a season with 13, which means he's going to be as good as they were. And not only do the Buffalo
Bills...
What's that?
Looks like it.
Dude, he's amazing. He's got one of the fastest releases I've seen in a while.
Well, they're running his offense. That's the other part of it. You have an air raid quarterback, you know, running a spread offense. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Talk about a game that's coming up on the schedule that is looking a hell of a lot tougher than it did originally.
Imagine this defense facing that.
When there's absolutely no pressure on him, and when there is pressure, he's able to avoid it and throw on the run.
And not only do the Buffalo Bills have the same record as the Patriots, but they beat the doors off a great team yesterday.
Fourth and goal, 1 foot away. Josh Allen trying to make himself heard. Waiting. Allen keeps it, dives over the pile into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, second touchdown of the game!
It's the first time he's allowed to be excited all season.
Did you see something that was like a bigger upset than Super Bowl III?
Okay, so check this out. There was a 16.5-point spread. The Bills came in underdogs, and they won by 21. That's a 37-point swing, if my math is correct. So that is one. I guess I haven't seen what the. I'd have to take a look at what
Super
Bowl III was.
Super Bowl III. What was this?
17 points in Super Bowl III. So the spread was a little bigger.
It was 17?
If I remember right, obviously I have to go look it up.
I thought it was.
My memory is it's 17.
Okay.
Jeez, man. 27-6, the final score. The Bills forced and recovered fumbles from Kirk Cousins on each of Minnesota's first two drives on Sunday.
No,
there was not a high five party. Matter of fact, like, I think the headlines in Buffalo, where you like that, and, you know, he's never going to get over that. Upon hearing that, Vontae Davis actually unretired and said, can I come back? Yes. The team actually looked all right.
The team was just missing him so much. They felt that they had to rally the troops.
And it happened again.
Chris Thompson to the left side, snap to Alex Smith. Looking downfield, he's hit it, sack! Oh, that came out of nowhere! Clay Matthews! Oh, no, and they throw a flag on it!
Personal foul. Roughing the passer.
Unbelievable.
Proving that it's nearly impossible to play defense in the NFL anymore, the league once again calls Clay Matthews for roughing the passer for making a textbook sack. The Packers end up losing 31-17, but more important is that we now learn the defensive players can't hit the quarterback in the head, they can't hit him in the legs, they can't wrap him up and drop him, they can't hit him too late, and now they apparently can't land on top of a quarterback after a textbook tackle either.
That's right, using your body weight penalty.
And by the way, that's the rule. So by the rule, sure, it's a flag. Yeah. That rule sucks.
Yeah, well, quarterbacks are going to be playing until they're 50 now. And by the way, Clay Matthews, one of the 10 most attractive football players, according to People Magazine.
Didn't we have him at the table?
Yeah, he was great.
During the Super Bowl 1 year?
He was very good.
When we were in Indianapolis, he came by right after Cam Newton.
Well, this is the second week in a row, some would argue the third week in a row, that Clay was given a BS penalty. He's obviously pissed.
When you have a hit like that, that's a football play. You know, I even went up to Alex Smith after the game, asked him, you know, what do you think? You know, what can I do differently? Because that's a football play. And, of course, you know, like I said last week, the NFL's going to come back, so I put my, you know, body on him. You know, but that's a football play. I hit him from the front, got my head across, wrapped up. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's going to go on him. You know, I think we're looking for the hits, you know, that took Aaron out last year. You know, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, you know, some extra on him. But, unfortunately, this league's going in a direction I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's absolutely right. So, but that's the rules, and you're going to keep getting called if you do what you're doing, which is I can't tell you how you avoid that. How do you hit a guy that hard and not land on him? How do you change the inertia of your body to fall by the wayside when running that fast at someone?
I don't know. Yeah. There's no way of doing it. Amendola and Edelman both on that list of top 10 most attractive players.
Well, that's true. I mean, those are
Russell Wilson coming in second. From my recollection, Odell Beckham Jr. coming in at third.
Brady's the number one hunk, I take it?
I don't know if Brady was on it, but I take it that he was the number one. Garoppolo was on it.
Of course.
A little too low, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the return of Carson Wentz, and he looked pretty good in the Eagles' win over the Colts. However, the quarterback whose health people are going to be talking about after yesterday's game isn't Wentz.
Brissett sets, fires. That ball's going to reach the end zone. And the Hail Mary unanswered for the Colts.
So on the last play of the game...
Yeah, I thought this was weird, too.
A Hail Mary pass by the Colts is drawn up, and the guy to throw it for the Colts wasn't Andrew Luck. It was Jacoby Brissett. Should we all be freaked out about the health of Luck's arm? There were rumors that it would never fully heal. What say you, Colts coach, who isn't Josh McDaniels?
Just he can throw it a mile. We knew Jacoby had the arm to get it into the end zone. We would have kept Andrew in if we would have got it up another 10 or 15 yards. But, we talked about scenarios like that. Jacoby did a great job. You know, we kind of gave him a couple minutes notice, knowing that it might come down to that. He did a good job of getting loose and gave us a chance with a good throw.
That's Frank Reich, by the way.
Nothing to do with that.
It had nothing to do with that. It's everything about getting
the ball into the end zone.
They called him the closer.
No. All right. Here's the thing. The Colts were at the 40 or 45, their own 45. Wasn't like they were at the 30 and you needed Brissett to throw the ball 70 yards or Luck to throw the ball 70 yards. Any quarterback in the National Football League should be able to get it in the end zone from 55 yards away.
They were being cautious in a situation where they knew they weren't going to win. I mean, who cares who throws the Hail Mary?
Well, it says something about the health of your quarterback.
Yeah, I think that they're very concerned about his arm health. Yeah, I agree. I think that that's why they did it. I mean, you could take some guy from a, you know, adult softball league that can throw the hell out of the ball, and it's the same difference as anyone else. Like, you know, there's no, like, touch on the Hail Mary pass.
Have you ever heard of that, ever?
No, but I've never heard of, a quarterback coming back from that kind of arm injury that is a franchise quarterback.
I think it's overly cautious. I mean, you play him, but you
don't
play him.
You know what, John?
Well, it's not that
that's
totally
why
cautious.
I'm a coach and you're not. That's why you're on the sidelines watching soccer while I'm in the trenches coaching baseball.
Is that where you were? Yes, anyway, because we had a travel soccer game about four blocks from your house. No Freddie T. Thought at least you'd come out and visit, no?
Yeah, I usually hit up the soccer games even though my son doesn't play.
Damn. Yeah.
What do you want to do today? You want to go check out some kids playing soccer?
By myself.
Have some fun.
Lone man, adult,
creeping
looking at kids.
Around.
Have some fun.
Without any children, just watching other kids.
Did I tell you that we were playing, we had a practice at this field earlier this fall, and this guy had headphones on, and he just walked into the middle of the field and just started walking around.
Really?
We were doing infield, and he just started walking around. There was nothing wrong with him either, but like all, you know, like it didn't look like there was anything particularly wrong with the guy. He was just checking things out and getting in the way. And
did anybody say anything or you just wait till he walked off?
No, it was too interesting to say anything. Everyone just stopped.
Okay.
All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we talk about?
There is a star player, and I mean a true star player in the NFL who is on the trading block right now. And I'll let you know who it is, as well as some news regarding the Celtics as well.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Well, it looks like the Steelers have changed their philosophy regarding Le'Veon Bell. And according to Adam Schefter, they're reportedly listening to trade offers involving Le'Veon. As a matter of fact, they said that with Bell set to hold out as he has this season, as well as tonight's game versus Tampa Bay, they said that since he's yet to report, they thought, let's go ahead and get this over with. And anyone who wants to offer us something, come and get it. Now, the only problem is that teams who are going to try to make an offer realize that he is not motivated to play until he gets some sort of payment or an agreement, at least a verbal one, that there would be an extension at the end of this season. So, I mean, who is going to line up to do that? And as of right now, he's missing out on $853,000 for each game that he misses.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tactic that's going to come and bite him in the ass. And I was listening to something yesterday, and they speculated that because of all the cap room that the Jets and Cleveland could be in place, and that's what I would say those two teams need with rookie quarterbacks is to get yourself a nice a guy who's going to be 27 next year, a nice running back that's going to be 27.
I'm sorry, you said the Jets and Cleveland?
They were speculating because of the cap space. They have like $4 million. They have like $40,000 in cap space, the two teams. And so why don't
I saw yesterday the Colts, because, you know, you give Andrew Luck a running option. I don't know about how salary cap it works, but
what's their record?
The Colts,
they've won one and two
after yesterday's loss. But okay, again, the division they play in, maybe they have a chance. Maybe Bell gets into the playoffs, you know?
You don't think having a good running back would help a young quarterback?
Yeah, I made this mistake once before, so I'm just trying to hear philosophy trading running backs.
But don't you look like
Derrick Henry?
Trent Richardson,
which was awful,
horrible deal.
You don't need to help a rookie quarterback on a team that's not going to do anything. You don't need a 27-year-old.
I saw yesterday the Colts, the Jets, the 49ers, the Texans,
Niners would be interesting,
and Cleveland.
Not now. Doesn't matter now.
That's right. I forgot with Garoppolo hurt.
Cleveland. I mean, look, of those five teams, I mean, the 49ers obviously out of it without Garoppolo. Texans are 0-3, and maybe if they lose another one, they're looking at a rebuild with Bill O'Brien, who's, you know, stuck there under a contract. I think the Colts are probably the most viable option of those five.
I wouldn't give a third-round pick for them.
Yeah, it's a rental.
No, it's a rent.
85% rental, and even if you keep them, I mean, the magic age for running backs to expire is like a year away for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay him any money. I mean, what a miscalculation this guy did. I mean, just he read everything wrong. They offered him a ton of money, too, the Steelers.
Yes, they did.
And he turned it down, and he's never going to get that again.
It's kind of like Dez Bryant turning down, what, was $7 million a year?
Three
from the Ravens?
For 21. Now 3 years, $21 million, turned it down.
Not making anything. Well, Anthony Davis has picked a new agent. He is now with LeBron James's representative by the name of Rich Paul. So there is much speculation that with the end of his two seasons that he has left in New Orleans, he is going to possibly join up and make a super team with LeBron James out in Los Angeles.
A super team with a 49-year-old LeBron James.
Well, I mean, he's still, 2 years from now, who knows? But I would speculate that he still would be pretty good, but Anthony Davis then would be 27, and he's obviously going to be in his prime at that point.
The agent said, I guess, the agent that he has just had someone sign a max deal. And he said he ain't going to leave. But I suppose that means nothing. But he did have a client who recently.
Talk about Carl Anthony Towns?
Yeah, he just signed a max deal.
I don't think he represents him. I know he signed a super max deal, but he represents someone that stuck with the organization.
Okay.
Okay.
Recently.
Well, Anthony Davis, there you go. Let the rumors begin. So the Beastie Boys have sounded off on Eminem's album cover for Kamikaze, which if you've seen it, it clearly borrows from License to Ill.
Well, yeah, it's licensed to the cover to License to Ill.
It is that right there. And as a matter of fact, Horovitz and Mike Diamond, they said they were flattered by the invitation. And he said, well, it's obviously, it's to me, it's an homage. But when Diamond pointed out to Horovitz that Eminem likes to diss a lot of people on the album, Horovitz said, well, I guess that's not very nice then. And he goes, well, he doesn't diss us. They said, okay, well, I guess it's nice once again. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly, it's just the same cover.
It's the cover of License to Ill.
Instead of Eminem, it says, or, you know, Beastie Boys, License to Ill. So.
And then he came back and did a diss track to Machine Gun Kelly. And Machine Gun Kelly had a diss track towards Eminem.
What's the last memorable song that Eminem made? Like, I don't want to say hit, because, you know, it doesn't have to be a hit. But what's the last one that people actually talked about? He did that one with Rick Rubin that was pretty good, that had the sample of Stroke Man from, or The Stroke.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
From Billy Squire.
All right.
That might be the last, and I think he's released like three albums since then.
Well, the one with Beyonce was fantastic. Walk on Water.
God, I don't even remember that now.
It was really insist upon itself and had like a corny chorus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. It's not good.
All right.
But the new record is pretty good.
Is it? You've heard all of it? I've only heard the Machine Gun Kelly one. And it wasn't, I mean, listen.
That's not on the record. The one, the complete diss track to Machine Gun Kelly is not on the record. He put that out like in a day. I don't even know who Machine Gun Kelly is.
Well, he's somebody who obviously has cool earrings.
And he loves machine guns.
Yes, he must.
He just loves shooting machine guns at people.
Well, Devin McCourty was asked about the rumors of Colin Kaepernick being interested in the Patriots. And Devin McCourty said, well, I would just say I think he's a really good player. I think he's had a tremendous amount of success in the league. And I've said it numerous times. There's no doubt in my mind that he's one of the top, whether you want to say 32 or 64 quarterbacks that should be in this league. McCourty also sees Kaepernick doing good things for the community, and he said, I think he's still doing positive stuff. I think him as a player would probably spotlight some of those things, because right now people only talk about the same thing. If he had that viewership as far as the NFL, people would see what he does. He said, I love this decision. Not only do I think that Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL as a backup, but he should be a starter. There's no doubt in my mind that Kaepernick has the talent and the intelligence of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. So there you go.
Well, we might as well stomp on the flag.
I guess so. I guess you might as well do that. Well, last night, if you didn't see it, because John Wallach didn't even see it, I believe this happened.
Swung on, banged in the hole into left. Base hit. Game winner. Greg Allen's done it for the second time this year. And the Indians in 11 innings beat the Red Sox in walk-off fashion for the second night in a row.
So they get free beer in Cleveland again? Is that going to happen?
Screaming like the Indians were going to clinch something.
You actually watched that?
No.
Oh, okay.
God,
I thought you said you were screaming.
No. Tom Hamilton, who I think does play-by-play for the Indians, he's screaving like, oh, my God!
What do you want him to do?
And Indians will treat it like the game that it is, which is base hit, Cleveland wins.
It's a walk-off.
Only six of these to go. Those games matter again.
So walk off, and you know what? You got to trudge yourself to the park 162 days a year and sit through 3 hours of that.
Sure.
Why not give yourself a little enjoyment?
All right, Bird. Are you working all week down there? Like every game? Are you doing every game that's in town? Bird?
The Yankee series. I'll be busy all weekend.
Okay, well then this is going to more than likely happen during the Baltimore series. I want you to report, text me or tweet it on the way home, how early and how soon they have the most wins ever T-shirt on display.
Oh, definitely.
Because
before the end of the game.
I guarantee you they will have it ready to go for people walking out of the stadium on the day that they win.
Well, no, they need one, and they play Baltimore tonight.
Yeah, that's right. So you're working all week, or not all week, but with the Baltimore series. I want you to tweet us a photo as soon as you see it on display.
All right, no problem.
Okay, because that's happening.
And as soon as they go on clearance, I'll get you all a shirt.
Well, I mean, will they go on clearance? I mean, they're going to be the most sought-after item of the year, I'm sure. That's a lot of purchases for you, John. You already got the AL East, and then you got the first to 100. The first to 100 wins is the best.
Hey, that division has pretty cool.
By the way, I, as a joke, was going to get you that first to 100 shirt. I went to the game. I went to a game last week.
Sure. Yeah, no, I saw the picture.
I was going to get you one. They were sold out of larges.
Oh, stop.
I'm not kidding you. They were sold out. I even asked the guy, do you have any more? He goes, we're sold out of larges.
Oh, Jesus.
So there you go.
You know, you have a few pops at the game, and then, you know, you're feeling all good about yourself. You get yourself a little tea. Get yourself a little memorabilia. You ever been at a bar like on a Sunday, and then like an old guy comes in and tells them to put on the old baseball game? You're like,
you say, nope.
Yeah, that's a good answer. No.
It's like the Red Sox. It's like the Red Sox, not a lot to play for right now.
Yeah, no, I'm watching the Patriots game. Game matters. I switched the channel to the Red Sox, who are pretty much the best team in baseball.
Put on the Red Sox game. And I'd like an Amstel Light with very little head on it. That was 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Put on the Red Sox game and give me an Amstel Light with very little head on it.
John Henry was there? I would have thought he would have been at the game.
I like my beer without foam. Commie.
I didn't realize having foam in your beer was a communist act.
It's how they get you.
Okay.
That ain't a pint. Yeah. Jeeves, please. Get me my erector set. I want to relive the carefree days of old. All right. We will be back and we'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. We had an older person at our house this weekend, and she goes, I'm going to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get some coffee. And we're like, okay. And she's like, yeah, I'll just take my car and go down to Newton Center and get some coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. We're like, okay. And she's like, yeah, you know, because I just want a little coffee over there. And I go, I understand you want coffee.
What was the point she was trying to make, that you guys had no coffee in the house?
No, just like, she was just like, but like, hey, it's cash. Just going to head on down to Newton Center over there to Dunkin' Donuts. Going to get some coffee. Okay. Yeah, I'll take my own car. Just go over there and get some coffee over there at Dunkin' Donuts.
See,
I won't be so long. I'm just going to go get some coffee. Are you going to get coffee? Oh, my God. You're so brave. You're like McCain. Oh, my God. How can you go out there and get coffee? Thank you for explaining it in such great effing detail. My God. You're driving up to 3/4 of a mile, parking your car, and getting a beverage that you can't go 10 steps without someone having in their hand. Yeah, I'm just gonna use my own. Are you gonna use your own car? Super. Because I thought, you know what? I thought you were gonna hotwire the neighbor's car and pop on down to Dunkin'. Yeah, I just use my own car. Bunch of information that no one needs to know.
So they said it like 3 times to you.
There was just like another layer of stupidity after like everything. And I finally, and I never do this because it was an older person. I go, yes, you're getting coffee. I understand. You're getting coffee.
Enjoy yourself. Bye. Yeah. Leave. Like, stop the explanation.
I'm picking up some plutonium. Meet a Russian guy. Scott Zoll, got in at 5 this morning.
One of Stephanie's weird friends, huh? Come over again. Why does she do this to you on Sundays?
It was Saturday.
Well, either. I mean, regardless.
I don't know.
Friday, Saturday,
no,
or
no
Sunday.
One's happy with
don't
anything.
Bring your strange friends over.
Just gonna get some cough.
What, you came over to check on the cat? would they all hold hands together and pray for the cat?
Twitter at Scott Zolak.
I'm here. 55 Morrissey, come find me. Try it today.
Because you sounded legitimately pissed. Like you sounded pissed.
You sure heard. I think my best stuff is during the breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there like any audio of it? Of maybe
I don't know. Jim Louth usually runs on some stuff.
Okay. All right.
We probably won't run it.
All right, quickly, because they're going to play Ass Man because you're a big TV star. Can you think of a worse loss in
regular season?
I mean, 6 years we've been doing this now. You're 6, Bob and I. 7 with Gil. 8, Gino and Gil. No.
Yep.
Not like that. No, not to that team. Like, the Kansas City loss in 14 was
bad.
They
were a good team.
That's good. I mean, you don't really win in Kansas City.
Right.
You don't say, hey, you don't win in Detroit.
Right,
yeah. Kansas City's got like 12th man. Going to Seattle, you get your ass kicked out there. 12th man, that's a good team. That team's on the rise. Nobody's looking at Detroit saying, wow, that team's on the rise.
No, it's a team in disarray, and if he had not won that game, there would have been talks of him being on very thin ice.
But I'll tell you what. Matt Patricia knew where the bodies are buried on defense.
Oh, without
be doing a lot of that today.
Knew exactly who to pick on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Not just one guy here, folks.
Gilmore, yeah. Secondary, everybody. Linebackers.
Gilmore's all right. Gilmore played yesterday.
You know what? But as soon as they get Chung back, everything will be fixed.
Right. Everyone will slot right back in.
I don't
place.
Think you... Hardy will be in, and he can maybe put in perspective just how bad... Just how unbelievably bad that loss was. It's, like, hard to even formulate the thought that that actually happened.
But they won a Super Bowl there.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
What a party.
That's the biggest...
That, party won.
That is the
rocking.
Biggest win in Detroit. Because they haven't won a playoff game since I was a freshman in high school.
Buses left, and they're just standing in the street, like, just hanging out. No
That's
crime.
The biggest. That might be the biggest win.
Like Ray Lewis said, hey, we don't play football. There's crime. Yep. There was no crime last night.
There was no crime, except for the cars we lit on fire. All right, everyone have a great day. Bye.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, the Sports Hub, the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. WBZFM and HD, Boston, Beasley Media Group Station.